Good morning. Today is Monday, June the 12th. Joining us this morning from the County Office of Education, right here in Eureka, Chris Hartley. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, Brian. Good morning. Happy Monday to you.
Yeah, well, happy last week to you.
Well, it's not really last week.
I know, but for a vast majority of folks, when the schools close down and the buses aren't running.
That's true. For a lot of kids, it's happy last week. I think they're really sad, though. You know, the kids are going to miss the school year a ton going into the summer. Can you feel their pain?
I'm just wondering what pile you stepped in on the way out here.
You don't buy it, huh?
Well, you know, I could, but I'd be lying if I said so. Oh, boy. Let's see. Oh, no. Our quote this morning comes from John Woolman. Conduct is more convincing than language.
Ooh, that's deep.
Huh? Is that cool?
That's good. That's good.
So what? Is anybody out in Humboldt County Schools? Were there any graduations that happened before this week? Or is this the week for everybody?
This will typically be the week for all the districts. We had Glenn Paul graduation last week, which was outstanding for our special.
So that was your first one?
Yeah. Okay. That was an outstanding ceremony. But this is the big week. You know, we have basketball season, and we have football season, and we have baseball season, and this has been the award season.
That's what I was saying. You know, a lot of times the focus is on the graduation. Yeah. Which is cool, but you're also getting a lot of the scholarships being given out now, a lot of the statewide things.
Yeah.
Any one of them stand out more than the others? I figure a lot of them are just because it's your first rodeo.
For sure.
So you know, you're just seeing the tidal wave hitting the shore. But was there any one or two that you kind of went, wow?
You know, we've had students here locally. Their students, I think, actually this week are competing at the National History Day. So they qualified at the State History Day, which is a big deal, and they made it onto the national level. We've had a student out of Fortuna who qualified at the state level and is competing in the National Culinary Foods Competition in Kentucky. I think it's Louisville, Kentucky. So our local students are rocking it. So just outside of that, we just finished the Innovate Business Challenge, where our students did their business pitches, basically, that were developed with the help of local mentors and business folks. And that was an outstanding event. The IT Fair, Industrial Technology Expo, was last week, where students brought in their projects, everything from barbecues, like tow-behind barbecues, you know, portable ones, like massive.
Like Rex Bone?
Exactly.
Barbecues, okay.
Yeah, you know, to amazing woodworking projects. So kids in Humboldt County are rocking it, you know, and all of them just kind of stand out, to be honest with you. But
National competition the week of finals.
That's, interesting. I didn't think about that.
I would tend to think that you could waive their finals if they're competing at anything on a national level and just say, you know, they're going to hold whatever their grade. And we'll probably bump them up a little bit just because of that.
That's a good point.
Diversion, so to speak.
I like it.
KINS, News and Information Times, 819. We'll be back with more from Chris Hartley.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 824. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County Superintendent Chris Hartley. Chris, this time of the year, all of these awards that are coming through, is there an opportunity for the community to go somewhere to find something and go and celebrate? all of the various things. You know, you got this group, that group, the, you know, then typically it's the sports groups. But there's all of these other elements that are out there, either for the graduates or for those just that went to high school this year.
Yeah.
Is there a spot? Is there a clearinghouse? Is there any opportunity to go and see
these events?
Kind of like, yeah, strutting your stuff kind of a thing. You know, yeah. Not the IT fair only, but everything that's there.
That's a great question. You know, through the county office's Rising Stars program, that's very well laid out as far as the 10 events that happen throughout the year. So anybody could go onto our website, the Rising Stars Foundation, and take a look at when those events happen. And we are always looking for help with volunteers, and certainly we're looking for help with donations to be able to put these programs on. You know, so yeah, the community can definitely get involved. Some of the things, you know, we've kicked around are like, you know, you have Hall of Fame ceremonies for sports. You know, you always hear about that. But there's always kicked around the idea of an academic Hall of Fame. Nothing's ever come through
or
on that
alumni,
yet. Or,
alumni
yeah,
kinds
yeah.
of things. I know a lot of the schools have got their own alumni Hall of Fames
right.
that aren't necessarily
right.
sports specific.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's an idea. You know, we've never really pulled it out, but, you know, you start to look at
it. You got a facility now that allows you to.
We certainly do. We certainly do. You know, we could use that Sequoia Conference Center for something like that. But it has been busy. You know, when you look at the totality of all the different programs that have been created over the last several years, you know, it's meaningful work, and it's just great to recognize our students.
Do the kids... I don't know if you do the interviews with them, but do they feel as if they're getting the recognition also?
I guarantee you they feel that. I mean, if they don't, they don't have a pulse, because they've got lots of adults that are helping celebrate their successes. And, you know, really when you see the kids go through the process, the relationships that they're building with each other, and we talked about that a little bit with the Ambassador Award that we did, the Rhododendron students, how they just gelled as a group. But we see these kids, and most of these programs we're mentoring with local businesses and local adults who are guiding them along these projects. And, you know, they're just developing great rapport with local adult people in the community.
Kind of makes graduation pale, huh?
Yeah, you know, graduation is a big deal, though. It's a big deal. You know, it's really a big deal for those families, too, you know, when you get to see your kid or your grandchild, you know, walk across stage and get that certificate.
Now, you've got a gazillion of them this Thursday and Friday. Busy. How do you choose?
Well, it'll be easy for me because my daughter is graduating. So I think if I didn't choose hers, I would be in a lot of trouble. So, yeah, for me this year, it's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer.
Do you get to be up there on the stage? Are
nope,
you doing the
nope.
diploma or are you just dad?
No, I'm going to be dad. I'm going to be dead. So it's be the first time in a long time that I haven't been on the stage giving a speech, and I'm going to actually enjoy the heck out of that, just sitting in the stands and reflecting on you know, my daughter's history here as a local high school student from McKinleyville High, and it's going to be very exciting.
That's cool. When I was at St. Bernard's on the board, that was one of the things that I, you know, that is the job, and I got the opportunity to
Absolutely.
Give it to Stefan when he came.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, for a guy that's not an academic.
Pretty cool.
To be able to do, it's like, that was cool.
Very you know, special. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, if you've been doing it all the time, yeah, okay, fine. It might become more routine, and it's nice to be a dad rather than to step up and take that opportunity.
Yeah,
it's
for sure.
Yeah, it's just kind of a cool thing.
That's absolutely
yeah.
a very special moment.
As you're looking at this year, other than the new employment status.
Yes, sir.
What are you going to think about it?
Oh, as we're going into the 17-18 school year?
No, as you're looking backwards. Oh. You know, this is a rear-view mirror question.
Well, you know, again, the number of unique programs that we have in our county to meet the individual needs of students is absolutely amazing. And when I reflect back on this year, as with most all years, you remember all of the contributions that your community continues to make to support our schools here locally. Whether it's passing a bond issue, supporting a fundraising event, volunteering time for students to shadow in your job industry, our career technical education initiatives that we have going, and the community's passion to help students. You know, really, that our schools don't just exist by themselves, that they're a part of the community, and Humboldt County continues to impress with their willingness to support and guide.
Is there more we could do?
There's always more.
Okay, let me rephrase. Are there easy things that more of us could do to help out that you see you'd like some of that participation?
You know, with the area right now, what we're really trying to continue to strengthen is partnerships with local businesses for students to go shadow, be a part of. We've had some discussions here locally about apprentice programs, internship programs, but connecting students from the world of school to the world of work. We can continue to deepen that more than just a shadowing opportunity, but to like a real internship partnership. I think there's some real opportunity there.
Do the kids have interest in that kind of stuff?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's relevant, you know. It's relevant for them. They can see a connection after high school.
Yeah. Well, and just to expand that horizon.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely.
It's a big deal. Yeah.
Yep.
KINS, News and Information Times, 8:30. We'll be back with more from Chris Hartley.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Chris Hartley, Superintendent of Humboldt County Schools. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by REDEC. Chris, as you're getting ready for your new upcoming fiscal year, budget ready?
Yeah, our budget's...
You were a little too enthusiastic on that one.
You know?
Let me say that again. Is the budget ready?
It's ready, Brian.
Wow.
Yeah, we're getting the final tweaks from the state. Of course, the state of California hasn't formally adopted its budget yet, but we've got the May revision information that came out, and school districts throughout the state have used those dollars to start moving towards finalizing their budgets for the 17-18 year. So we're looking forward to a final budget approval so that we know exactly where we're at. And so budget has been on our mind, as well as everybody else in the state.
Now, the county has been dealing with a bunch of ADA issues, a huge liability that's out there. When you hear stories like that, do you kind of use it as an opportunity to look in the mirror and go, well, what about us? How are we dealing with ADA compliance? And I know there's a lot more funding on the day-to-day, week-to-week, year-to-year basis for schools than there has been for the county. But do you use news, current news, kind of as a trigger to play the what-ifs, or how are we doing?
Are you talking about as far as like building compliance goes, that kind of ADA? Because, yeah.
Access,
okay,
and the whole nine yards.
The ADA in education also remains average daily attendance. So I was like, is he talking about attendance, or are you talking about buildings here? So, yes, yeah, certainly, you know, as far as ADA compliance goes, really where schools currently hit that is when you're doing new construction, or if you go in to do a remodel. And then the moment you start, it's a remodel or a new construction project, you are modifying everything to the current codes that are outlined for ADA. And we use the DSA as our approval process. So that's where schools really feel the pinch, obviously, is when you engage in any kind of a retro or a modernization project, then everything is up to the current codes for ADA. And all of our school sites, you need to be, as an administrator, you're looking. So when you're walking around your buildings, you're looking at your sidewalks, you're checking, you know, that is that slope, is that okay? We want to decrease our liability at any opportunity we can.
So you're the trip and fall expert for the, you know, yeah.
You know, it's kind of strange when you move into different jobs, you start to look at those types of things. Absolutely. You know, and
well,
so we all need to be responsible that way.
And it's not routine. You go to Neyland for the first time.
That's right.
You're looking around going, huh, Okay. What new eyes, I guess, is another way to think.
And you can see
it.
That with our schools that haven't been able to modernize, where they haven't done much work to their buildings. There's areas where you're like, this would be addressed if you were to able to have some construction dollars.
So with some of the funding coming down through the state, I know most construction is bond.
Correct.
And matching and. In your general fund dollars, do you try to allocate a little bit for
Absolutely.
These types of things? So even if their communities aren't in a position to pass a bond of enough numbers to make it happen, at least you get some incremental progression?
Yeah, you're absolutely required to do what we would call as deferred maintenance. And so to set aside dollars to take care of your roofs, to take care of your parking lots, to make sure your infrastructure is in good shape. You know, it's not adequate for schools to just lay back and hope that they get a bond from their local community to do these types of projects. We're obligated to put money aside for good maintenance and operations.
Now, does maintenance trigger the requirements, or is that kind of a different classification?
Yeah, it's kind of a different classification. So, you know, but when our districts are proactive and you're doing a good job maintaining your facilities, you avoid a lot of costs down the road that it could be associated with, let's just say, dry rot or, you know, issues related to the integrity of your buildings. A good maintenance and operation program on the front end keeps these older buildings, you know, lasting and staying healthy for many years. So
things like the handicap bathrooms, I suppose that's probably one of the most visible that most of us would understand.
Sure.
You know, the slope, if it's off by 1% or 2 or 1 degree or 2 degrees, most of us would battle that that's goofy to have to redo, but okay, fine. Those standards there, but
that's correct.
The larger things, you know, the faucets and access to those and some of these other things. Can you do that under the title of maintenance? You know, blow up a bathroom and change it around because maybe the fixtures need to be replaced.
It could be your deferred maintenance, you know, as part of a project, as far as funds that you might set aside for deferred maintenance projects. But, I mean, honestly, it's just kind of like see ball, hit ball, too. If you have an issue and it's limiting students' ability to access something they need, you just need to do it, because it's the right thing to do for kids. So that's kind of logically, you just would want to take care of that despite whatever pot of money it needs to necessarily come out of.
Actually, today we're saying see ball, rebound ball, shoot ball, score points.
You got it.
That's keep our focus here, sir. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:41. Go Dubs. We'll be back.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
Theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Chris Hartley. Chris, were the business partnerships that you were looking for, if any of the folks that are listening are intrigued by the concept, is it a laborious thing? Is it challenging? Is it pretty normal? I mean, what are you looking for to benefit the kid? And, you know, obviously the business is going to be looking for just their enthusiasm, if not a little bit more.
The commitment for business folks is, you know, they're giving their time, you know, which is our number one resource that we all value, obviously, and impacts everybody the same. But really, that's what you're giving. You're giving your time to help shadow a student, provide an internship. But what you get out of that, you know, when I talk to business partners who are doing this with kids, is they just absolutely love it. You know, they're getting, there's a lot that they're getting in return just from the relationship of working with a young student. People find that to be very enjoyable, you know. So most of our business partners who jump in and get involved with us continue to do it. And so that's our number one sign of success, that they're willing to do it again and again and again.
What's the commitment from the kids?
Again, their time, their ability to follow through. Is a big commitment. You know, we want our students to be responsible for making sure they're meeting their end of the bargain, which is showing up, giving it 100%, and to absorb, to be a sponge, to learn.
Is this seen as extracurricular? Is this in lieu of classes? Is this like weekends?
Good question.
That kind of stuff, how does it fit into their schedule?
Some of these projects are certainly outside of the school day. So when we look at like the Innovate project that we just talked about, that competition, that's a big deal. That's a ton of time outside of school. But we also have work experience programs where it can be a part of a student's scheduled day. You know, so for maybe fifth or sixth period, their last two periods of the day, we have a lot of students here locally that will go work. They have a job. And then to take that one step further, we can try to connect them into internships, you know, into job industries that they might have an interest pursuing, you know, after high school. So it's kind of both. It's kind of both. But when we can, we like to blend it as part of their structured day.
For those that are college bound, does this kind of knock them off the rail, or are things like work experience or internships now seen as part of a valuable component of what they bring to the collegiate setting?
Well, we hope that it'll influence their decisions when they go to college as to what they're going to study. You know, so for what we're really trying to do is help our young folks find out what they might be interested in pursuing in college before they get there and spin their wheels, you know, not sure what direction they're headed in. So,
oh, the dreaded GE classes.
you know, undeclared, which is fine in itself. But, we want them to start thinking about, you know, what that next step could look like, whether they're going to college or whether they're going to go into a career field right out of high school.
So pretty much anything's possible for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Will they put in requests?
The students?
Yeah.
For
I would be interested in. Rather than here's a list of what we got and kind of a square peg round hole.
Yeah, we certainly try to, you know, focus and build the projects around what the students are interested in. We do a lot of career assessments, you know, Jim Ritter's program, the Career Frontiers, where we are doing career inventory assessments with kids where they're asking questions and completing a survey. And maybe you did one of those way back in the day where you're like, hey, this is a career that you're potentially
supposed to be either
ready for.
A psychologist or a lawyer.
And here you are.
Yeah, doing both. Thanks for coming by. Congratulations
Thank
on the graduation
so
also.
Fantastic.
All righty. We'll see everybody tomorrow.